be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate, but climbs over elsewhere is a thief and a robber. But whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice, as the shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has driven out all of his own, he walks ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, because they recognize his voice. But they will not follow a stranger. They will run away from him, because they do not recognize the voice of strangers." Although Jesus used this figure of speech, the Pharisees did not realize what he was trying to tell them. So Jesus said again, "Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate, and whoever enters through me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. I came so they might have life and have it more abundantly." The Gospel of the Lord. One of the things you find over life is that there are certain people whose judgment and insight and wisdom you can learn to trust. And one group of people I've learned to trust a lot are old black ladies. They've been through, it seems like, the ringer, and I'll tell you, they have a lot of wonderful bits of knowledge for us. And one weekend a few years ago, when this Feast of the Good Shepherd comes up, this lady told me, "Father, this is the best way to explain this Sunday. If the Lord's not your shepherd, you're going to get fleeced." And I said, "That's not bad. Not bad." Because it's true. And the Lord makes that very, very clear. Of all the images in Scripture, the one of the shepherd is clearly the most popular. We know that Abraham was a shepherd. His sons, Isaac and Jacob, were shepherds. We know that the kings of Israel were known as shepherds. We know that Ezekiel speaks about the bad shepherds. And now we have today, in John's Gospel, chapter 10, Jesus is the good shepherd. What does that mean to say you're a good shepherd? And what does it take for people to learn to follow that shepherd? And that's an interesting question, because there are a lot of good shepherds out there, but there's a lot of people that don't seem to want to follow. There are, it tends to be, people who come around the edges of the flock and offer them the moon and the stars and everything in between, and they buy it hook, line, and sinker. If you don't believe it, just listen to all the rhetoric right now with all the politicians. You know, the running to be president is almost like running to be shepherd in chief. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, I don't think any of them aren't not going to fleece us. It just depends on how much and where we're going to get fleeced. But politics isn't my issue, because you take whatever the Lord gives you and you make the best of it. But when it comes to the path of the Lord, it's a different story. And the Lord is a good shepherd. Why is that? Well, first of all, we recognize Jesus has one goal only. That one goal, simply put, is to get us to heaven. Very simple. It's not complicated. To bring about the kingdom of God is to say, I want you to share my life with the Father and the Holy Spirit in heaven. That's the goal of a good shepherd. The goal is the well-being of the flock, not the shepherd's well-being. We see just how clear that is when we look at Jesus himself. Being truly the Son of God, he came down and took on our human nature, and he suffered with us, and he suffered because of us, and he gave his life for us. Did he gain anything himself? Not really. Did we gain anything from this action of the shepherd? We gained everything. We gained everything. And we know Jesus was trying to build that flock on earth, that flock that we've come to call the church. And all throughout his ministry, he had some difficult times. They'd follow for a while, but then they'd fall away. That seemed to be the course of Jesus' life. Oftentimes, they began to fall away because one of the other things a good shepherd does is he's never afraid to tell people the truth. That's a very challenging thing because shepherds, like any other group of people, want to be liked. We want to be known as nice guys. And nice guys and nice girls don't become nice people by telling people where they're wrong and they need to change. Doesn't work that way. But yet we know Christ came and he didn't mince words because he knew he wasn't talking about some simple little thing. He recognized everything he challenged in us was something that could put our souls at peril, that could ultimately lead us to hell. And we know last week from the story of Jesus and the disciples on the road to the Emmaus, he goes after them. He'll leave the 99 to go get those two lost sheep. And he's come after us. But oftentimes people come along the side and they want to offer things. You know, one of the things you always teach your kids is you don't take candy from strangers. Well, as you grow up, the strangers are still there. The candy just gets a little bit different. They might not be handing you lollipops or Snickers bars or Reese's cups. Now they're saying, oh, you don't need to change. You're fine exactly the way you are. God expects you to sin. He doesn't expect you to be perfect. And all of a sudden we begin to get into religion, which is more like psychotherapy than it is, it's I'm okay, you're okay. Instead of Jesus is God, let us follow him. But boy, that candy tastes awful good because it doesn't cause us to grow any. And one of the things that this good shepherd is doing, he's trying to draw us out of ourselves so that we can grow, so that we recognize what our weaknesses are, not because we're bad people, but because with his help and the grace of the Holy Spirit, we can overcome them. We can grow to the point that we walk with the shepherd. The bad shepherds don't want to do that. The bad shepherds are those who, another part of this gospel referred to as the hired help, are only interested in their well-being and their comfort and their satisfaction. And so they'll shear the sheep for their clothing. They'll take all the milk from the sheep and give the sheep nothing back in return. Christ gave the sheep everything and he took nothing in return. And he says that's what it means to be a good shepherd, that he's come to raise us up. He's come to challenge us. And that means he's going to come sometimes to upset us and disturb us a little bit and say, this is our life and this is what we need to start choosing. And this is the path we need to begin to follow if we are going to be his disciples. And he does it in both ways. St. John says he pushes us out and then he goes in front and leads us. And to hear his voice is often kind of difficult today with all the cacophony or the bad sounds of the culture and the media and all those things that are going on. And this week is going to be real interesting because the cacophony is going to be loud and clear once Shepherd One, known as the Pope's plane, hits the ground. Because I'm a betting man, I shouldn't say that. But if I was going to bet on this, any place you watch other than EWTN is going to find two or three or four priests or religious or lay people who say, the Pope is wrong about this. The Pope is wrong about that. The church is wrong about this. And the church needs to change all that. And yet the church has made it clear. It gets nothing from this other than the salvation of its people. Why would it want to change? And as Father Carapi always says, it's always better to be a good shepherd and tell the truth about life, about God, and about the world, because he says, I'm not going to hell for any of you. I'll go to hell for something I did, but I'm not going to go to hell for not telling you the truth. And the Lord says, only when you know this truth can you have an abundant life. Can you move beyond this type of sustaining life or just existing to move to a joyful life? A life in which you grow, and life in which you find real happiness, and life in which you know sacrifice has meaning. Self-denial is going to get you someplace. It's going to get you closer to Christ. And so he came to be the good shepherd, the model for the shepherds of the church, the priests and the bishops, but he also came to be the model for the parents and the leaders of the world to say we shouldn't be interested in it for what we gain. We need to be interested in what brings life to the people, what sanctifies the people, which helps them find out who they were meant to be and to become that with everything that we have. That's what it means to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He gives us rest. Besides restful waters, he leads me to refresh my spirit. We hear time and time again, the Lord offers us comfort. He offers us challenges. But all of that comes from his divine love. The divine love in which we see the fullness of the shepherd truly giving us everything. He gives us his body and his blood. That tells you how much he is invested in us. How much have we invested in the shepherd? How much have we tried to be sheep that are listening to his voice and spending the time to get all that other stuff out so we can hear it? How many of us have been the sheep to decide to submit to Christ and recognize that he gives us the true path and not what someone else tells us is the truth? So as we receive that gift tonight of his body and blood, let it strengthen our hearts. And let it clearly help us move out of the way that keeps us from seeing who Jesus is and from hearing his voice in the church and in his word. Because in those things, we will find life. We'll find abundant life on this earth. But most importantly, we'll find heavenly life, angelic life, the fullness of life and love that we could ever expect with God in heaven. If we simply let him be our shepherd, if we follow his lead.